When you hear a show tune from the Great White Way, does a shiver run through ya? Well, we're giving them to ya. Sing hallelujah and shout hooray. Come on along and listen to Broadway to Main Street, USA.
Marry me a little, love me just enough, cry but not too often, play but not too rough, keep a tender distance so we'll both be free. That's the way it ought to be. I'm ready, marry me a little, do it with a will, make a few demands I'm able to fulfill. Want me more than others, not exclusively. That's the way it ought to be. I'm ready. I'm ready now. You can be my best friend. I can be your right arm. We'll go through fight or two, no harm, no harm. We'll look not too deep, we'll go not too far. We won't have to give up a thing, we'll stay who we are. Right? Okay then. Just enough, warm and sweet and easy, just the simple stuff. Keep a tender distance so we'll both be free. That's the way it ought to be. I'm ready, marry me a little, body, heart and soul, passionate as hell but always in control. Want me first and foremost, keep me company. That's the way it ought to be. I'm ready. I'm ready now. Oh, how gently we'll talk. Oh, how softly we'll tread. All the stings, the ugly things we'll keep unsaid. We'll build a cocoon of love and respect. You promise whatever you like, I'll never collect. Right? Okay then.
This is Larry Maslon, your host for Broadway to Main Street, and I am more than ready to celebrate one of the most groundbreaking, provocative, enduring musicals in Broadway history, and that is Company, the 1970 musical with a score by Stephen Sondheim, book by George Firth, direction by Harold Prince, that really upped the game in a brand new way for the entire genre of American musicals. So, today on Broadway to Main Street, we're emanating, as we always do, out of our beehive of a studio here at 88.3 FM, Peconic Public Broadcasting, in the slightly cloudy hamlet of Southampton, New York. And occasionally on this show, we take some time and devote the full hour to the score and the history of a show that was rather seminal, or at least popular. Company was not insanely popular when it opened in April of 1970, and it was very much a mixed bag critically. People didn't really know how to react to it. But as time goes on, not only has the American musical really shaped itself to formulate around some of the ideas that company threw out there in 1970, but it has gone on to many revivals, one in 1995 on Broadway. Neil Patrick Harris did a concert version of it. There was another version with Raul Esparza. It gets done all over the world. So today, because we're entering the spring when people tend to get married, let us look at the quintessential show about marriage. So we'll talk a little bit about the genesis of the show, but it was one of the few shows coming out of the 60s that was set in contemporary New York, and the audience, which tended to be wealthy Upper West Siders or wealthy Upper East Siders, actually got to see themselves and a series of contemporary apartments. There was an elevator on stage and a group of well-to-do New Yorkers who were singing about their five couples singing about their best friend named Robert. And here is the original cast album with a phenomenal cast, but Dean Jones as the hero, the somewhat conflicted hero of Company. Anyway, the opening number from Stephen Sondheim's score to Company.
Comes company. No strings, good times, room hums company. Late nights, quick bites, party games, deep talks, long walks, telephone calls. Thoughts shared, souls bared, private names, all those photos up on the walls. With love, with love. Bobby with love from all those good and crazy people, my friends. Those good and crazy people, my married friends. And that's what it's all about, isn't it? That's what it's really about.
Bobby, Bobby,
Bobby, Robert, darling,
Bobby.
Bobby,
it's Sarah.
Bobby, listen, pal, I'd like your opinion.
Try me, Peter.
Bobby, I need your advice.
Can I call you back tomorrow?
Bobby, if you visit the kids once or twice.
Ginny, I could take them to the
zoo. Bobby, Bella, Bobby,
Peter, where have you been?
Bobby, here, it's none of my business.
Look at how I have to work.
Don't you pick me up, you cook you.
Bobby, I don't know how I hate to be.
Bobby,
you
think you're naked. what it's really about.
Isn't it? That's what it's really about.
Really about.
The opening number to Stephen Sondheim's score To Company. Now, in terms of what Company is really about, of course, it's really about marriage and commitment. The history is an interesting one. Sondheim had obviously leapt to fame in 57 as a lyricist with West Side Story. And he had a good friend who was an actor who he met in 1962 out of town on a show that he came down to doctor called Hotspot. And his friend George Firth was an actor in Hotspot, and they became close. And George Firth is a figure much beloved by me. He was a very good friend and appeared in a lot of films like Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid or Shampoo or the Boston Strangler. And he was mostly an actor, and he worked at the Actors Studio in New York. He was a member. And often there they developed their own material, and he came up with a series of one-act plays, three-handers, and Kim Stanley was supposed to be in all of them, and it was about marriage and relationships. And through a slightly circuitous route, Sondheim took them to Harold Prince to see if he wanted to direct. And Prince said, I think this could be a musical if we made the third person in the triangle the same character all the way through. And that, of course, became Bobby, this, what they used to call a bachelor, a fellow who can't make up his mind about whether to get married or not. In New York in the 1970s, and the various couples who swarm around him and give him all sorts of advice and pull him one way or another. Sondheim wrote the music and lyrics to this score. It was not his first by any means. He had done Forum and Anyone Can Whistle, but this is the one that launched his career in the 70s because Hal Prince also directed it as well as produced it, and this partnership redefined the American theater. And with this show, Sondheim, I would say, almost officially or de facto became the poet laureate of ambivalence, one of the greatest ballads ever written, in my opinion, about love. Here's Bobby Short, of all people, to sing a knockout version of Sorry Grateful from Company.
Grateful, you're always wondering what might have been. Then she walks in, and still you're sorry, and still you're grateful, and still you wonder, and still you doubt. Then she walks out. Everything's different, nothing's changed, only slightly rearranged. You're sorry, grateful, regretful, happy. Why wait for answers when none occur? What you always were, which has nothing to do with, all to do with her. You're always sorry, you're always grateful, you hold her thinking, for her, you do live with her, you're scared she's starting to slip away, and scared she'll stay. Good things get better, bad gets worse. Wait, I think I meant that in reverse. You're sorry, grateful, regretful, happy. Why wait for answers when none occur? You'll always be what you always were, which has nothing to do with all to do with her. Why wait for answers when none occur? You'll always be what you always were, which has nothing to do with all to do.
That was a trio of musical theater comedy goddesses from across the pond from a concert celebrating Cameron McIntosh. That was Ruthie Henshaw, Maria Friedman, and Leah Salonga singing You Could Drive a Person Crazy. And in the show of Company, they are the three girlfriends that Robert sort of serially gets attached to and unattaches from as the show goes on. And of course, it drives them crazy. Robert is the bachelor, the unmarried man who turns 35 at the beginning of Company and really wonders what his life is about and if there's anyone out there for him. Richard Mewins is a wonderful voice and a wonderful theater presence, and in a Sondheim celebration at Carnegie Hall, he sang the beautiful Someone Is Waiting. So let's hear it.
Someone is waiting, cool as ever. Sarah, easy and loving as Susan. Jenny, someone is waiting, warm as Susan, frantic and touching as Amy. Joanne, would I know her even if I met her? Have I missed her? Did I let her go? A Susan sort of Sarah, a Jenny-ish Joanne. Wait for me, I'm ready now. I'll find you if I can. Someone will hold me soft as Jenny, skinny and blue-eyed as Amy. Susan, someone will wake me sweet as Amy, tender and foolish as Sarah. Joanne, did I know her? Have I waited too long? Maybe so, but maybe so has she. My blue-eyed Sarah, warm Joanne, sweet Jenny, loving Susan, crazy Amy, wait for me. I'll hurry, wait for me. Hurry, wait for me. Hurry, wait for me.
Thank you. people just got off of the train. And another 100 people just got off of the train. And another 100 people just got off of the train. And another 100 people just got off of the train. Another 100 people just got off of the train.
That was Pamela Myers from the original Broadway cast of Company. One of the interesting things about Company that people perhaps tend to forget, it was unconventional and conventional at the same time, by which I mean that in the coming and out of the box at the end of the 60s, beginning of the 70s, it was not a linear book musical the way musicals had been sort of pushed through the American consciousness by Rodgers and Hammerstein from the 40s on. It was had a lot of characters you didn't know who came in and out. The songs didn't really add up to a narrative. Sondheim was fond of saying they were like raisins or nuts pushed into a fruitcake. You just got glimpses of other people, like that last song, whenever they came up. But in that way, it was very much like a review with a non-narrative show that you got in the 20s and 30s. So it was new and not new, or used some of the tropes and structures of the past to create something very exciting. At the beginning of the show, we heard a song called Marry Me a Little, beautifully sung by Lauren Molina, which became the title of a review of cut Sondheim songs. That song was cut from Company, as was our next song. Robert seems to feel that a woman who's about to get married named Amy could be his soulmate, and sang a song called Multitude of Amys, which was never really used in the show. But here's Mandy Patinkin to sing a Sondheim rarity from the score to Company.
Multitudes of Amys crowd the streets below. Avenues of Amy's, office fulls of Amy's, everywhere I go. Wonder what it means. Oh, I wonder what it means. I see them waiting for the lights, running for the bus, milling in the stores and hailing cabs and disappearing through revolving doors. Multitudes of Amys, everywhere I look. Sentences of Amys, paragraphs of Amys, filling every book. Wonder if it means I've gone to pieces. Every other word I speak is something she says. Walls hang with pictures of Amy's, galaxies of Amy's dot the night sky. Girls pass, look at me with Amy's eyes. I've seen an audience of Amy's, watch a cast of Amy's act in a play. Seems there are more of her every day. What can it mean? I've got a stadium of Amy's, standing up to cheer. Choruses of Amy, symphonies of Amy's, ringing in my ear. I know what it means. Hey, Amy, I know what it means.
Oh, I'm ready. I'm ready. I'll say it, marry me now.
Mandy Patinkin, beautifully rendering a cut song from Sondheim's score to Company. Well, obviously, Robert was not really ready to marry Amy, and in fact, Amy's engaged to somebody else, Paul. And that unfolds itself in one of the great numbers from the score. I saw a 1995 revival of the show and was so knocked out by the performance you're about to hear by V.N. Cox, who was nominated for a Tony. I consider it the gold standard not only of this song, but of how to do a Sondheim song, and backed up brilliantly by Patti Ben Peterson and Danny Burstyn. Here is B.N. Cox as that selfsame Amy about to maybe kind of, sort of, hopefully, who knows, get married today.
My shoes anywhere.
Today is for Amy. Amy, I give you the rest of my life to cherish and to keep you, to honor you forever. Today is for Amy, my happily soon to be.
Amy, we're really getting married.
Pardon me, is everybody there? Because if everybody's there, I want to thank you all for coming to the wedding. I'd appreciate your going even more. I mean, you must have lots of better things to do, and not a word of it to Paul. Remember, Paul, you know the man I'm going to marry, but I'm not, because I wouldn't ruin anyone as wonderful as he is. But I thank you all for the gifts and the flowers. Thank you all. Now it's back to the showers. Don't tell Paul, but I'm not getting married today.
Find his good cufflinks.
On the dresser. Right next to my suicide note. Listen, everybody, look, I don't know what you're waiting for. A wedding, what's a wedding? It's a prehistoric ritual where everybody promises fidelity forever, which is maybe the most horrifying word I ever heard, and which is followed by a honeymoon where suddenly you'll realize he's saddled with a nut and want to kill me, which you should. So listen, thanks a bunch, but I'm not getting married. Go have lunch, because I'm not getting married. You've been grand, but I'm not getting married. Don't just stand there, I'm not getting married. And don't tell Paul, but I'm not getting married today. You go, why is nobody listening? Goodbye, go and cry at another person's wake. If you're quick for a kick, you could pick up a christening. But please, on my knees, there's a human life at stake. Listen, everybody, I'm afraid you didn't hear. Do you want to see a crazy lady fall apart in front of you? It isn't only Paul who may be ruining his life. You know, we'll both of us be losing our identities. I telephoned my analyst about it, and he said to see you Monday. But by Monday, I'll be floating in the Hudson with the other garbage. I'm not well, so I'm not getting married. You've been swell, but I'm not getting married. Clear the hall, because I'm not getting married. Thank you all, but I'm not getting married. And don't tell Paul, but I'm not getting married today. You, but I may be coming down with hepatitis, and I think I'm gonna faint. So if you want to see me faint, I'll do it happily. But wouldn't it be funnier to go and watch a funeral? So thank you for the 27 dinner plates and 37 butter knives and 47 paperweights and 57 can holders. I am not getting married, but I'm not getting married
with this ring.
Still, I'm not getting married.
I'm being wet.
See, I'm not getting married. Let us pray that we're not getting married today.
Great performance from the 1995 revival of Company. That was V.N. Cox, Patti Ben Peterson, and Danny Burstyn, all of whom were fantastic and went on to do great, great things. This is Larry Maslon, your host for Broadway to Main Street here on WPPB 88.3 FM, Peconic Public Broadcasting. And it's a great opportunity to, I don't know, almost kick in the summer and look at one of these great scores, which is really not only withheld, what do you do with the test of time? You I forget. Anyway, it's clearly a timeless show. It only gets more interesting as the years go on. One of the interesting trivia points about Company is that the lead character, Robert, was always called a cipher. Like, nobody really knew what he was about or why he wouldn't commit to settling down and getting married. And at the time, a lot of people suspected he might be gay, which still comes up in criticism of the show. But here's a tidbit that I will share with you. He's actually based on George Firth's college chum, Warren Beatty, who is a serial womanizer until he himself actually settled down in the 80s or 90s. So there you go, Warren Beatty, the secret source for Bobby and Company. Let us go to the opening of Act Two and a number that was fantastically choreographed by Michael Bennett back at the Alvin Theater, in which all the couples tell Bobby how much they care about him and they can do nothing without him.
I mean, when you've got friends like mine. Isn't it warm? Isn't it rosy? Side by side.
He's such a cutie.
By side.
Isn't he a cutie?
Ports in a storm, comfy and cozy, side by side.
He never loses his cool.
By side.
I envy that.
Everything shines. How sweet. Side by side.
So
by side. Parallel lines who meet.
Love him. Can't get enough of him.
Everyone winks. Nobody's nosy. Side by side.
He is just crazy about me.
By side.
He's a very tender guy.
You make the drinks and I'll bring the posy. Side by side.
He's always there when you need him.
By side. One is lonely and two is boring.
Oh.
Think what you can keep ignoring. Side.
He's my best.
By
what?
Side.
I mean, next to my
by
husband.
By side.
There were a mother, seven times a godfather, year after year, older and older.
It's amazing. We've gotten older each year, and he seems to stay exactly the same.
Sharing a tear, lending a shoulder.
You know what comes to my mind every time I see him?
But what?
The Seagram's building. Isn't that funny?
Ain't we got fun? No strain.
You know, sometimes I catch him looking and looking. I just look right back.
Permanent sun. No rain. We're so crazy. He's so sane. Friendship forbids.
Like Bob doesn't have the good things, and he doesn't have the bad things, but he doesn't have the good things.
Being the kids as well as the sitter.
Let me make him a drink.
Yeah.
He's the one guy I know I feel should drink more.
One's impossible, two is dreary, three is company, safe and cheery. Side.
He always looks like he's keeping score.
Side.
Who's winning, Robert?
Here is the church.
Here is the steeple, open the door and see all the crazy married people.
What would we do without you? How would we ever get through? Who would I come thank you for hours? Who bring me the flowers when I have the flu? Who finished yesterday's stew? Who took the kids to the zoo? Who is so near? And who would keep her occupied when I want to sleep? How would we ever get through? What would we do without you?
What would we do without you? How would we ever get through? Should there be a marital squabble, available Bumblebee there with the glue. Who could we open up to? Secrets we keep from guess who? Who is so safe and who is so sound? You never need an analyst with Bobby around. How would we ever get through? What would we do without you? Do without you? Ooh, how would we ever get through? Ooh, who sends anniversary wishes? Who helps with the dishes and never says boo? Who changes subjects on cue? Who cheers us up when we're blue? Who is a flirt but never a threat? Reminds us of our birthdays, which we always forget. How would we ever get through? How would we ever get? How would we ever get? How would we ever get? How would we ever get through? What would we do without you?
Just what you usually do.
Right! You sit with us.
From the original cast of Company, the album from 1970. Well, Bobby is still circulating the world of New York trying to find the perfect match, or at least someone who completes him, as they would say in a few decades later. And he hooks up with a one-night stand with an airline hostess named April, a beautiful little one-act play of a song called Barcelona. Here is from the 1995 revival, Boyd Gaines as Bobby and the wonderful Jane Krakowski as April.
Where are you going?
Barcelona.
Oh.
Don't get up.
Do you have to?
Yes, I have to.
Oh.
Don't get up. Now you're angry.
No, I'm not.
Yes, you are.
No, I'm not. Put your things down.
See, you're angry.
No, I'm not.
Yes, you are.
No, I'm not. Put your wings down and stay.
I'm leaving.
Why?
To go to.
Stay.
I have to fly.
Why, I know, to Barcelona. Look, you're a very special girl, not just overnight. No, you're a very special girl, and not because you're bright, not just because you're bright. You're just a very special girl, June.
April. Thank you.
What you thinking?
Barcelona.
Oh.
Flight 18.
Stay a minute.
I would like to.
So.
Don't be mean.
Stay a minute.
No, I can't.
Yes, you can.
No, I can't.
Where you going?
Barcelona.
So you said.
Madrid.
Bon voyage.
On a Bowie.
Good night.
You're angry.
No.
I've got to.
Right.
Report to.
Go.
That's not to say that if I had my way. Oh, well, I guess. Okay.
Barcelona, from the 1995 revival of Company. Sondheim said, well, one of the things that was different about Company was that, quote, Broadway theater had been for many years supported by upper-middle-class people with upper-middle-class problems. These people really want to escape that world when they go to the theater, and then here we are with Company talking about how we're going to bring it right back in their faces. Well, if anyone from the original Company of Company put it back in their faces, it was Elaine Stritch with this miraculous 10:30 number, not quite 11 o'clock number, called The Ladies Who Lunch. And here she is, an indelible moment in the history of the American musical.
I'd like to propose a toast. Here's to the ladies who lunch. Everybody laugh. Lounging in their caftans and planning a brunch on their own behalf. Off to the gym. Then to a fitting, claiming their fat, and looking grim, 'cause they've been sitting, choosing a hat. Does anyone still wear a hat? I'll drink to that.
Here's to the girls who stay smart. Aren't they a gas? Rushing to their classes in optical art, wishing it would pass. Another long, exhausting day, another $1,000, a matinee, a pinter play, perhaps a piece of Mahler's. I'll drink to that. And one for Mahler. Here's to the girls who play wife, aren't they too much? Keeping house but clutching a copy of Life just to keep in touch. The ones who follow the rules and meet themselves at the schools, too busy to know that they're fools. Aren't they a gem? I'll drink to them. Let's go! The girls who just watch, aren't they the best? When they get depressed, it's a bottle of scotch plus a little jest. Another chance to disapprove, another brilliant singer, another reason not to move. Another vodka stinger. I'll drink to that. So here's to the girls on the go. Everybody tries. Look into their eyes and you'll see what they know. Everybody dies. A toast to that invincible bunch, the dinosaurs surviving the crunch. Let's hear it for the ladies who lunch. Everybody rise, 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 rise.
And let us indeed rise to celebrate the immense achievement of Company, scored by Stephen Sondheim, book by George Firth, directed by Hal Prince, the first of the great Prince-Sondheim collaborations that would dominate the 1970s. Well, the word I couldn't come up with earlier was withstood. Company has withstood the test of time. It was nominated for 14 Tonys, won six, ran, I think, 706 performances. Been revived constantly, and I hope it consistently stays within the musical theater repertory. It's hard to imagine back in 1970, in April, as it were, how groundbreaking it was and how adult it was. One of Company's fans, of all people, was Richard Rodgers. And he wrote a letter to Sondheim, which my friend and colleague Ted Chapin shared with me. Steve, I played the album this past weekend, and as much as I loved the score when I heard it in the theater, my enjoyment and respect for it were multiplied listening to it carefully at home. This is a unique talent that you walk around with, and I think you were absolutely right in insisting that you must write both words and music. No one else would have had the ingenuity and courage to write the music, and the show would have suffered with anything less. So, Richard Rodgers loves Company, we love Company, everybody loves Company, and here is Patti LuPone from a live concert act to sing the 11 o'clock number, Being Alive. This show certainly makes me feel alive, and it was a privilege to share it with you. Here's Patti LuPone, rounding out our tribute to Company.
Somebody hurt me too deep. Somebody sit in my chair and ruin my
sleep and make me aware of being alive, being alive. Somebody need me too much, somebody know me too well, somebody pull me up short and put me through hell and give me support for being alive. Make me alive. Make me alive. Make me confused. Mock me with praise. Let me be used. Vary my days. But
the time all gone to. This is Larry Maslon here at Broadway to Main Street. Let's catch up next Sunday at 3.
There's so much more embracing still to be done, but time is racing. Oh, well, we'll catch up some other time.